Off the ball. Rugby.
Sevens was it for your early 20s.
We ever tempted?
Couldn't have thought of anything worse. First of all, my engine was not my strong point. It would have had to be in those very early years.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball.
Welcome to Thursday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Cleona Maloney is to end her international exile on Saturday. Leinster are bound for Croke Park if they get past La Rochelle. Connacht secure the futures of a pair of hot prospects. First up today, Scott Beaman has made just one change to the Ireland team for Saturday's Women's Six Nations date with Wales. Having missed the defeat to Italy a fortnight ago, co-captain Edel McMahon returns at open side flanker. That means Grace Moore misses out this week. Sarah Delaney is absent with a shoulder problem, meaning Cleona Maloney is named among the replacements. The Exeter hooker could make a first international appearance in more than 3 years. There are further changes among the replacements and a potential first cap there for Shannon Ikahihifu. Defence coach Declan Danaher was asked today how close Maloney was to starting on Saturday at Virgin Media Park.
We've obviously been keeping an eye on her. We obviously had an injury last week to Sarah Delaney, so then it was there was a need to bring a hooker in, and it was an opportunity obviously to bring Cleona in, and then getting her into camp and the first 2 days, obviously getting a head around what the learning would be like for her from a, like I said, I've already said, from a line out and a attack and defence point of view, then would she be in a good place to be involved? And she's definitely done that. So look, Neve's obviously playing incredibly well. So it's great to have two hookers that are obviously playing in the Women's Premiership in England, and probably at a very, very high standard from what I can see. A lot of the girls I've obviously working with are over there, and you can see the standard of the competition and the ability to come in and fit in pretty seamlessly has been a testament to that competition.
Danaher also gave his assessment of Wales.
Obviously watched the two games. They obviously had a tough loss against Scotland, and I think if they had got their maul going a bit quicker in that game, they probably would have. They still obviously had an opportunity to win it at the end with the kick, but they probably would have given themselves, if they could have got that part. It's obviously a strong part of the game. If they could have got that going earlier, I think they probably would have come away with the win. And then obviously against England, I think they had a really, really good first 20. Unfortunately, England had a very, very good first 20 defensively and pretty much just repelled them. And I think that momentum then swung back England's way. I think you saw that with the intercept try. 1 minute Wales were on England's line attack, and the next minute they were obviously conceding 7 points. So I think Wales will be looking at both those games and go, there's opportunities to, if they can obviously get their maul going, and probably convert some of that momentum they're creating, then obviously they'll look to get a foothold in the game against us. Things we've seen, it's probably a little bit around our attack, like I've said already. I think Italy, we created a lot of chances, but we obviously turned over a fair bit of ball as well, in terms of either in the contact area or on the ground. And I suppose the thing that we want to look after against, we know Wales are going to come after our breakdown. They're going to go pretty hard there. So it's not necessarily something I see as an opportunity to exploit, but I think we, you know, the girls are very aware that that's an area that we've got to be hot on from minute one. They've got players in their back row and across the field who can turn the ball over pretty quick. So it'll almost be a battle of the breakdown. Can we keep hold of it and create momentum, obviously, while they try to hunt and turn our ball over?
Just to remind you of that Ireland team, Lauren Delaney will start at full back. Katie Corrigan and Bavin Parsons are on the wings. Eve Higgins and Enya Breen are in the centre. Dana O'Brien starts it out half. Evan Riley is at scrum half. The front row is unchanged with Linda Dugang, Neve Jones and Christy Haney. Dorothy Wall and co-captain Sam Monaghan packed down behind them. Aoife Wafer shifts to blindside flanker this weekend. Edel McMahon is on the open and Brittany Hogan will start at number 8. Leinster have another carrot to beat La Rochelle this weekend. The EPCR confirmed this afternoon that Croke Park will stage any subsequent semi-final involving Leinster in the Investec Champions Cup. With the Aviva Stadium out of action as it's prepared for the Europa League final, GAA HQ would instead host Leinster's semi-final with either Northampton or the Vodacom Bulls. If La Rochelle win on Saturday, then they'll be off to the UK for a semi-final. Stadium MK if it's Northampton or a venue still to be determined if it's the Bulls. Leinster have only played at Croke Park once, that being the famous 2009 Heineken Cup semi-final win over Munster. Croker's last game of rugby was Ireland's final round defeat to Scotland in the 2010 Six Nations. Looking ahead to Saturday's quarter-final with Leinster, though, La Rochelle defence coach Dunnock O'Ryan has been impressed with the work done at Leinster by his former Munster coach, Jacques Nienaber.
Probably been documented a lot in Ireland, but the intensity of their line speed, put a lot of pressure on line speed. You could see that last weekend against Leicester with intercept tries, and there was a few they were unlucky not to, to grab as well and go the length of the field. So Jacques would have had we played Leinster back in the Flaunt earlier in the season, and yeah, you could see there was a big appetite there for them to in the defensive appetite to get up off the line and put pressure on, and that's pretty much the South African model. And I think, you know, Jack had mentioned before that he had a 16-week plan as well to implement into the Leinster setup with their defensive system. And look, I had the pleasure of being coached by Jacques and Munster as well, and Rassi. So they're very smart guys. You know, they know what they're about. And yeah, look, it's certainly still one clear thing I probably you could see this year is that their defensive line speed has been very good. And at the same time, their breakdown work is in defence is very good too.
Finally, one of the hottest young properties in Irish rugby has committed his future to Connacht. Ireland under 20 centre Hugh Gavin has signed his first professional terms with the province. Gavin was named man of the match in Ireland's opening round win away to France this year, while Academy scrum half Matthew Devine has also signed pro terms with Connacht today. Gavin gave his reaction to his step up to Connacht's social media team.
So my club Galwegians, to be fair, they've given me everything I've ever needed in terms of developing my rugby. We've had some unbelievable coaches throughout the years. We actually, our team in particular, we were quite successful. Got to a few cup finals. Had a good few lads playing in provincial teams. So, in terms of coaching, we were very blessed. Our age group, and yeah, loads of lads have pushed onto the senior team from there. I've played a few games for Galwegians in the AAL, and I've really enjoyed it. Like, I've always dreamed of kind of putting on the sky blue jersey since I was a young lad, so it was a great thing to do and to give back to the club.
Hugh Gavin there. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name's Richie McCormack. There'll be more Rugby Daily for you tomorrow, but not from me. I'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.